Hare Krishna. We are very fortunate to have Her Grace Srila Ramananda Ji with us on the Nectarian Mellows of Gopi Gita. Ji, you can start.
Hare Krishna. Thank you so much, Shama Gauri Mataji, for this opportunity. And thank you very much, Govinda Prabhu, for connecting me to everyone. Very grateful to you. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskrityam Naram Chaiva Narottamam Devyam Saraswatim Vyasam Tato Jaya Mudirayet Nashta Prayeshu Abhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Uttama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtiki Krishnaya Vasudevaya Devaki Nandanaya Cha Nanda Gopakumaraya Govindaya Namo Namaha Nama Pankajanabhaya Nama Pankajamalini Nama Pankajanetraya Namaste Pankajandraye Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. A reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 31, entitled The Gopis Songs of Separation, reading from text 13.
Pranata Kamadam Padmajachitam Dharani Mandanam Dhyeyamapadi Charana Pankajam Shantamam Chate Ramana Nastaneshu Alpayadhiham.
Translation. Your lotus feet, which are worshipped by Lord Brahma, fulfill the desires of all who bow down to them. They are the ornament of the earth. They give the highest satisfaction, and in times of danger, they are the appropriate object of meditation. O lover, O destroyer of anxiety, please put those lotus feet upon our breasts. O Makyanati Mirandhasya, Gyananjana Shalakaya, Chakshirun Mulitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha, Namaam Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale, Srimate Raghunath Swami Niti Namine, Namam Vishnu Puraya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Jaya Pataka Swami Niti Namine Nama Acharya Padaya Natai Kriva Pradayine Gaura Katha Dhamadaya Nagura Gramatarine Namam Vishnu Puraya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshutarine Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Srivasati Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So this, you know, verse continuing the Nectarian Mellows of Sri Gopi Gita. Today we are on the second last day of the completion of Sri Navadvip Mandal Parikrama. We've been very fortunate that we've been allowed to perform the Navadvip Mandal Parikrama, and tomorrow is the last day of the Parikrama. We actually just got back from the Parikrama. So I was hoping and praying to Mahaprabhu that I don't get late for this class today, because on the road I don't have any phone facility, nor do I have internet connection. But somehow Mahaprabhu brought us in time for this class so that I can serve and have all of your association. Just 5 minutes before the class, I was able to come inside the house. So we were very fortunate to get your association today on time. And the entire way back from the Parikrama, I was meditating what I can speak on this verse today. Because this verse, it is especially talking about the glories of the lotus feet of Sri Krishna. The gopis are very, very beautifully describing the glories of the lotus feet of Sri Krishna. And they're saying, Pranata Kamadam Padma Jarchitam, that those who bow down to the Padmaja Chitam. Padmaja means it's Lord Brahma, referring to Lord Brahma. So it is said that the lotus feet of Krishna, which is worshipped by Lord Brahma himself, they have the capacity and the capability to fulfill the desires of all who bow down to them. That is the potency of Sri Krishna's lotus feet, that no one is returned empty-handed when one comes in front of the Lord, that all of their desires are immediately fulfilled. He goes on to say, the gopis go on to say, the dharani mandanam dhyeya mapadi, that they are the ornament of the earth. It is explained that Lakshmi Devi, she is the one who is, adept, or she is the acharya, or the one who is the most expert at Pada Sevanam, because she is the one who is always at the lotus feet of Lord Vishnu, serving and massaging the lotus feet of Lord Vishnu. So Pada Sevanam, the perfection achieved by the personality through Pada Sevanam, is actually Lakshmi Devi. But here the gopis are saying that Dharani Mandanam, which means, the Dharani means the earth, is ornamenting herself. And she, by the ornaments that are present on Mother Earth, she is decorating the lotus feet of Sri Krishna. All the blossoms that come on Mother Earth, she uses that in decorating Krishna's lotus feet. She performs in such a way that the red blossom dye that comes on Mother Earth, they add to the reddish hue on Krishna's lotus feet. Also, when Krishna walks on Mother Earth, she's the one who makes sure that Krishna, his tender lotus feet, is not too much troubled by the hard surface. So she tries to make it as cushionable as possible for Krishna. So she is the one who is directly tending to every need, every comfort of Krishna's lotus feet. So she is the one who is actually ornamenting Krishna's beautiful transcendental lotus feet. And that is why the gopis are actually mentioning the earth, Dharani, to be even higher than Lakshmi Devi, that the position of Dharani Devi is even more higher than Lakshmi Devi, because the way she is serving and decorating and ornamenting the lotus feet of Sri Krishna. And the gopis go on to say that Charana Pankajam Shanta Mamchate Ramana Nahastaneshu Arpayadhihan, which means that Apadi, whenever they are having in any kind of distress, any kind of, you know, stressful situation, any kind of difficulty, they have one fixed formula. They just run to the lotus feet of Sri Krishna. They just take shelter of the lotus feet of Krishna in Charana Pankajam. They take the shelter of the lotus feet and Shantamam. Shantamam means it gives the highest of satisfaction. By taking shelter, the way the gopis are, they are telling two things. That first of all, whenever anyone takes shelter of Krishna's lotus feet, that they are never returned empty-handed. They always are there. It fulfills their all their desires. This is what is said in the first line. The third line, again, is saying that the Charana Pankajam, the lotus feet of the Lord, has such a capacity that Shanta Mamchate, that it fulfills all one's desires, that it gives the highest of satisfaction. That anyone who takes shelter of the lotus feet of Sri Krishna has nothing to complain about. So we can see so much about this aspect by the way that Krishna reciprocated in the life of the Pandavas. The Pandavas were so distressed from the very beginning of their life. They had one misery after another getting inflicted upon them, right from their childhood. Bhima was poisoned. The Pandavas were led to stay in a house of lakh, which was burnt down, and they had to escape into the forest. Then the gambling match, where Yudhishthir Maharaj lost everything, including his brothers. Mother Draupadi was so badly insulted. And after trying to seek shelter from everybody, including her own husband, who were not able to give any shelter to her, no protection to Mother Draupadi, she finally took shelter and refuge of Krishna. She just raised her hands and called out, "Hey Govinda, hey Krishna." And that is why, you know, immediately as soon as, you know, Draupadi called him out, Krishna immediately came without wasting even a single moment. And he was just there as soon as his dear devotees called him out. He was there to protect them. And in spite of, you know, after saving the integrity of Mother Draupadi, then again they again had a gambling match by which they actually got exiled into the forest. They lost their kingdom. But in spite of all of this, one day it is explained that when the Pandavas were in the forest, Narad Muni came to pay a visit to them. And they were very blissful. The five Pandava brothers, they were very blissful. And even Draupadi, she is the queen of the entire universe, and she was also, you know, just acting like a forest woman. She was just there taking care of everything. And Narad Muni was surprised that how are these five Pandava brothers so blissful, even in such, you know, stressful and such austere conditions. So immediately after visiting the Pandavas, it is explained that Narad Muni visited Dwarka. He came to Krishna. And when he came to Krishna, Narad Muni used the word, he said a Sanskrit word which meant that, "I don't know, Krishna, what kind of hypnotism you do to your devotees, but they're completely so badly hypnotized by you that even a distressful condition is a source of happiness for them. That so-called distress or happiness does not affect their unconditional love for you." The word used by Narad Muni is Vashi Kriyate. That, "Krishna, what kind of hypnotism have you done upon your devotees that they just are so happy and blissful in every condition that you keep them in?" So that is what is the effect of taking shelter of the lotus feet of Krishna. Sharana Pankajam, Shanta Mam Chate, that it is the way that we can get the highest satisfaction. And then the gopis are actually begging. The last line, they're actually, if you see these verses of the gopis, every verse is actually a prayer. You know, they are directly never expressing their heartfelt desire. If you see each of these verses of the Gopi Gita, The first two, three lines, they're actually glorifying Krishna, either Krishna's entire body or Krishna's particular features, Krishna's transcendental pastime, something or the other. They are glorifying. In this case, they're glorifying the lotus feet of Sri Krishna. So the first three lines, they're just glorifying Krishna. And then in the end, the last line, they're expressing their heartfelt desire. But what do they desire? That if Krishna is so pleased with their glorification, if Krishna is so pleased with their service attitude, that may he grant their desire. And what is their desire? Their desire is that Ramana Nahastaneshu Arpayadhiyam, that we are requesting you, O lover, Ramana. Ramana means one who gives pleasure, Ramana. O lover, O destroyer of anxiety, please put those lotus feet upon our breasts. This is what we are begging of you, Krishna. Please grant this desire. If you are pleased with our service attitude, we are requesting this of you. So this is the prayer, the way that, you know, it is said that how each and every Ashtakam that we sing, whether it be Damodar Ashtakam, whether it be Purush Ashtakam, any Ashtakam or any prayer, Vaishnava Bhajans you take, we can see this kind of flow, that they actually first glorify the Lord, then they say, you know, that how meek and humble position I have, you know, like the singer should have, and then they express their desire. What is it that they want? Not that, you know, generally what it is that when we, you know, go to the temple, we just pull out our, you know, wish list from our back pocket and say, Dhanam Dehi Rupam Dehi Jasham Dehi this Dehi that Dehi, give me this, give me that. And we don't even stand to look at the beauty of the Lord. We don't even stand to say and glorify the Lord in a particular way. And that's the condition, especially, I can say for myself, we are definitely in that position. But that is why we actually have these prayers that are given to us by our acharyas, in this case the gopis. They are giving us these prayers by repeating which we can actually try to imbibe that mood of first glorifying the Supreme Lord, his different features, his different attributes, his different qualities, and then asking for our desire to be fulfilled. So that is the way that we need to pray to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now, I just wanted to make a point that the last line here, the gopis are using the word arpaya. Arpaya means please bestow or please place. Arpan. Arpan means to place, to offer. So we know that in the little previous verses, actually in text 7 of Sri Gopi Gita, the same word arpan has been used. It is in a different context. So we'll just go back to that verse in text 7. It goes like this.
Pranata dehinam papakarshanam trinacharanugam shriniketanam phani phanarpitam te padambujam krinukucheshuna krindhirichayam.
So here, in text 7 of Sri Gopi Gita, the gopis are glorifying the lotus feet of Krishna again. They're saying that your lotus feet destroy the past sins of all embodied souls who surrender to them. Those feet follow after the cows in the pastures and are the eternal abode of the goddess of fortune. Since you once put those feet on the hoofs of the great serpent Kaliya, please place them upon our breasts and tear away the lust in our hearts. So here, the gopis are saying that, Krishna, we are here begging you that you please place your lotus feet upon our breasts. We are begging you from so many times, we are just begging you. But there is this serpent, Kaliya. He did not beg to put your lotus feet on his hooves, but you offered your lotus feet on his hooves. Phani phana arpitam. You arpan, you offered your lotus feet to him. How much mercy you have towards that serpent Kaliya. And what have we done? That we are begging you so much and still you're not putting your lotus feet upon our breasts. What have we done to deserve this, O Krishna? So this is the complaint of the gopis, that what great deed has Kaliya, the serpent, done to actually deserve your lotus feet upon his hood without even being asked for. And, you know, when this is Mahaprabhu's mercy that you know, us doing this Navadvip Mandal Parikrama, a lot of, you know, it is said that every day a devotee learns, you know, different things. So, just recently, day before yesterday actually, we were in this place called near Amghata, where there is a place called Gauradaha. Gauradaha is actually a place where Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he delivered a very big crocodile. And that crocodile used to, you know, eat, you know, animals, little goats, you know, sheep and all of that. So it was a very dangerous crocodile. But then one time, Mahaprabhu, he just walked near that area, near that little lake. And this crocodile came there. And as soon as Lord Chaitanya, he was able to touch Lord Chaitanya's lotus feet, that crocodile transformed into a beautiful, gorgeous, you know, heavenly boy. And this pastime was told by His Holiness Radharaman Maharaj. And Maharaj went on to explain, of course, that who that little boy was in his previous life, that he was actually a celestial, you know, devata, a little boy. And he was very naughty, you know, he was a little boy. He was really, you know, little boys are generally very naughty. And he had gone and he had cut off the hair of one of the rishis. And that rishi got very, very angry. And that rishi then cursed him that you will be a crocodile. And when that rishi cursed him, and then this boy said, oh no, I'm just a little boy, you can't be so rude to me, and don't be so, you know, merciless to me, please have some mercy on me. So then this rishi's heart melted, and he said, okay, you will be delivered as soon as you touch the lotus feet of Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is none other than Radha and Krishna, who will come in Kali Yuga. And Mahaprabhu, by the touch of Mahaprabhu's lotus feet, you will be delivered. So that crocodile was delivered like this. That is the pastime of Gauradaha. And Srila Radharaman Maharaj went on to explain that this Gauradaha, Krishna, excuse me, I'm just feeling like I wanted to sneeze. I'm so sorry. So this Gauradaha, Srila Radharaman Maharaj explains that it is non-different, this Gauradaha in Navadvip Dham is none different than Kaliyadaha in Brajadham. Maharaj explained this. And he said that just like Krishna, he delivered the serpent Kaliya, in the same way, Mahaprabhu also delivered this crocodile in Gauradaha. So the pastime of, you know, Maharaj went on to explain that what is the, you know, like in Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is said that Bhakta Pada Jal Bhakta Padarenu and Bhaktar Uchishta, 18 Bhaktir Mahabal, which means that the water that has washed the lotus feet of a Vaishnava, the dust of the lotus feet of a Vaishnava, and the remnants from a Vaishnava, this is the this is the strength of a devotee's life. You know, this gives immense strength in a devotee's life. So the Maharaj explains that what great activity had Kaliya done that he got the lotus feet of Krishna on his hood. So Maharaj went on to explain what was the previous life of Kaliya, which was, you know, a wonderful pastime that I had never heard before, and I wanted to share with all of you also. And Maharaj went on to explain that there was once a very, very pious king in Kanchipuram. And this king, he had a very bad stomach disease. You know, he had very loose stomach, so he would have a lot of, you know, constipation and, you know, too much of stomach issues he had. So he would not be able to eat properly. He would not be able to, you know, do anything properly because he would always have to go to the restroom so many number of times in a day. So one day, Narad Muni visited this king. And when he visited the king, you know, welcomed Narad Muni and served him, washed his lotus feet, and served him nice prasadam. And Narad Muni said that, my dear king, you also eat prasad with me. So the king also sat down to eat, but then he immediately felt that he has to go and use the washroom. So the king was very embarrassed, but he couldn't help it because, you know, his disease was such. It was so bad. So he excused himself and he went quickly, finished his business, and he came back. And Narad Muni asked the king that, you know, what happened? Where did you go? Then the king said, oh yeah, my dear Narad Muni, I've been suffering from this, you know, big disease. It doesn't let me do my, you know, any of my duties properly. So I don't know what to do with this. So then Narad Muni said, okay, so here's what I will tell you. I will give you a way that you can actually, you know, get rid of this disease because you are such a nice devotee. And I will give you one very, it's a difficult process, but it is rest assured that you will be cured. So then this king said, okay, Narad Muni, please tell me what is it. So then Narad Muni said, so you have to go to the outskirts of your kingdom. And in the forest in the outskirts of your kingdom, there is one kind of a bird, a particular bird, and its name is Kulinga, Kulinga bird. And this Kulinga bird has great potency. It has great healing powers. So what you have to do is that you have to catch the birds, you know, a few of them. You have to catch them by yourself, not your soldiers, not your helpers, not your assistants. You yourself have to catch those birds. And then you have to kill them with your own hands. And then after you kill them, you have to cook them. And if you eat that, then you will be cured of this disease. Now, Narad Muni said to him that this is very gross. I would generally not say this, but this is what is the cure for the disease that you have. And this particular bird has that healing potency. And this is the way that the disease is overcome. So having been told like this by Narad Muni, the king, he said, okay, I will be, it's okay, whatever Narad Muni has said, I will follow that. And he went out to the forest. And when he went there, he went for 3 consecutive days because whenever he would go and he would try to catch the birds would fly away. So he went there first day, second day, third day, and he was very unsuccessful. He was not able to catch even one single bird. And he had told his ministers and his soldiers that nobody is going to help me. I have to do it myself. Narad Muni has said this. So nobody was able to help him, and he was doing it all by himself, and he wasn't able to do it. So then one of his ministers, very elderly minister, he said to Narad Muni, he said to the king, that, my dear king, I will advise you that why don't you take on the garb or the disguise of a Vaishnava? You know, give up your kingly attire and, you know, wear dhoti, kurta, put on tilak, take a japa bag and some beads and chant Hare Krishna mantra and just sit there under that tree and you chant, because the birds, they are, you know, they can feel the vibrations. So when they know that, you know, there will be no harm from you, they will wander around nearby you. Because right now they are seeing you in this kingly attire, they are seeing you with a bow and arrow and with big sword. That's why with their fright they are actually running away. They're flying away from you. But if you, you know, become non-threatening towards them, then they will also, you know, wander around you and you can easily catch them. So the king said, oh, wow, great idea. Okay, I will do that. So the king immediately, he put on, you know, the dress of a Vaishnava. He put on Vaishnava tilak, and then he took his beads and he started chanting Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, below the tree. And when he started doing that, the birds, you know, they all started flocking near him. They started coming near him because they felt no threat from this particular personality. And then immediately the king just opened his eyes when the birds were very nearby him, and he just gathered some of them. He just caught some of them immediately. And as soon as he caught them, the king looked into the eyes of these Kulinga birds. And the Kulinga birds were looking into the eyes of the king. And the king had an immediate transformation of his heart, and he said that, oh Krishna, how can I do this? These birds, just because I took on this garb of a Vaishnava, these birds, they felt completely non-threatened by me. So I don't have the heart to kill them at all. I would rather keep this disease with me, but I don't have the heart to kill them. No, I cannot do this. So saying like this, the king released the Kulinga birds. He could not kill them. So as soon as the Kulinga birds were released, one of those Kulinga birds, Radharaman Maharaj explained, that one of these Kulinga birds, they actually spoke to the king. When they spoke to the king, you know, was amazed that how can a Kulinga bird speak? How can any bird speak? But anyways, the Kulinga bird said to the king, that, my dear king, we are very, very moved that although you had to kill us by the orders of Narad Muni, it was completely justified, but by the goodness of your heart, by the compassion in your heart, you have spared our lives. You have, you know, you did not harm us, you did not kill us. Therefore, we are going to give you the a way that which will help you get rid of this disease that you have. So then the king said, okay, please tell me. So the Kulinga bird said that if you just walk down this path, there's a, in a small little hut, and in that hut there's a great yogi, a sadhu is staying there in that little hut. And if you just go there, take a pot of water with you, and then just pour that pot of water in the lotus feet of this sadhu and drink that water. As soon as you will drink that water, you will be cured of the disease. So the king said, okay, I will do that. And then the king bid farewell to the Kulinga birds, and he started walking towards that hermitage. And then when he came there, he saw that there was a little lake nearby, so he picked up one kalash of water from the lake, and he came inside the hermitage. And then the sadhu was sitting there, and he said, Sadhu Mahatma, please, I request you, please put down your lotus feet so that I can, you know, wash it And, you know, this is what I have. He told the entire thing. Narad Muni told me this. Then the Kulinga birds told me this. So therefore, I want to drink the water that is washing your lotus feet. So please put down your lotus feet. So then the sadhu, without saying anything, he put down his right lotus feet. As soon as he put down his right lotus feet, the king was shocked to see. The king was shocked to see the condition in which his lotus feet was. And he could not tolerate the smell. There was such a, you know, the feet were actually inflicted with leprosy. There was pus all over the feet. And, you know, it was, you know, there was wounds all over the feet. There was blood oozing out of the feet. And, you know, the smell that was coming out, it was as if the entire jungle was filled with the bad smell from that feet. So the king was utterly disgusted. You know, he couldn't imagine drinking, I mean, washing that feet, and then what to speak of drinking that water. So then the, you know, king very reluctantly told the sadhu Baba that, please, sadhu Baba, put down your left lotus feet. Let me, you know, wash that. So smilingly, the yogi sadhu, he put down his other lotus feet. And when he, because, you know, he did that, he thought that maybe the left feet will be better than the right feet at least. So, but when he did that, the left feet, there was no words to describe that, you know, left feet, because there was not only blood and pus oozing out from that feet, but there was also little worms that were slimmering and slithering around in that lotus feet. And, you know, all over the wound, there was blood and there was these worms that were just, you know, moving around and slithering around. And there was, you know, it was a ghastly sight. And, you know, and now he couldn't even say that, okay, now I'll go back to the right feet. At least there was no worms in that feet. But now he couldn't say that, you know, because the yogi might feel bad, the sadhu Baba might feel bad. So then somehow or the other, he said, there's no way I can drink this water. But he just washed the left feet of the sadhu. And as soon as he washed the left feet, some of the worms that were stuck on his wound, that also fell down into the washed pot, you know, the collected pot of water from the lotus feet of that sadhu. And this king, he said, no way I'm going to drink, because there was worms that were slithering around in that water. He said, no way I can put this in my mouth. I cannot do this. I can die, you know, with this disease. I don't care, but I will not put the water on my in my mouth. So, but what he said is that he didn't want to disrespect the words of the Kulinga birds. So he just took that water that washed the lotus feet of that sadhu, and he just put it on his head. He just sprinkled that water on his head. That's all he did. So Radharaman Maharaj explains that just because this king, he of course did not get cured because he did not, you know, ultimately follow the instructions. He was not cured of his disease, but because he doubted the water that has washed the lotus feet of a Vaishnava, of a sadhu, he was actually born as a snake. And that snake was Kaliya. And because he had put the water of that sadhu on his head, that head had become the resting place for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So that is why Krishna danced on the hood of Kaliya, because that head had the water that had washed the lotus feet of a sadhu. Hearing this, I was just so overwhelmed, you know, when I heard this entire pastime. And the way Maharaj explained this pastime was so beautiful, that how merciful Krishna is, that and how dear the devotees are to Krishna, that Krishna can give his mercy to anybody, even a snake, like Kaliya, who has been in his previous life, who just took the water of the lotus feet of a sadhu upon his head. So Krishna placed his lotus feet upon that snake's head because of that act of that king in his previous life, of that Kaliya in his previous life. So how dear are the devotees, how dear are the Vaishnavas to Krishna? This pastime proves it, that Krishna can go to any extent if his devotees are involved in certain things. And that's what we are seeing here, that the way the gopis are saying that your lotus feet, they are the, you know, the shelter for us, you know, whenever we are in any kind of difficulty, in any kind of difficult situation, or any kind of even happy situation, in all circumstances, your lotus feet are our only shelter. And this same mood that the gopis are expressing towards Sri Krishna, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in his Shikshashtakam, which are the only 8 verses that Mahaprabhu left for us, wrote down for us, Mahaprabhu actually talks about this particular mood also in his Shikshashtakam, in the 5th verse of Sri Shikshashtakam. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we know, is Krishna himself, but in the mood of Srimati Radharani. So the gopis, this song of separation of the gopis, this Gopi Gita, is nothing but what Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given us in the form of his Shikshashtakam. So the 5th verse of the Shikshashtakam reads like this.
Ahi nanda tanuja kinkaram patitamam vishame bhavam budhau kripaya tava pada pankaja sthitadhuli sadrisham vichindaya. My dear Lord, I am your eternal servant, but somehow or other, I have fallen into the ocean of this material world. Kindly pick me up and fix me as a speck of dust at your lotus feet.
So like this, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is also praying that Kripaya Tava Pada Pankaja, that please place me as a speck of dust at your lotus feet. So this Gopi Geet, this mood of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the way he has expressed us how we can actually take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The gopis, they are expressing their mood like this. But it is impossible to imitate that. It is just not possible at all. But Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is Radharani himself, herself, he has expressed to us and shown us by his own example that how we can actually imbibe that same mood by following in the footsteps of the gopis. That is the glory of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that he has given us the path by which we can actually make the lotus feet of Sri Krishna as the object of our lives. We can make the lotus feet of Krishna and make his lotus feet this have this desire that we want to be a speck of dust at the lotus feet of Sri Krishna. That mood is being given to us, it's been awarded to us by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And right, you know, performing this Navadvip Mandal Parikrama, we can truly, you know, relish this mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu every step we are taking in Gaura Mandala Bhumi. This is so amazing that, you know, Braja Mandal, it is actually very, very intense. It is 30 days of rigorous walking. But Navadvip Mandal, you know, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is so merciful that just in 1 week he gives us so much mercy. So much mercy that even if we try to take it with both our hands, it is not enough. There is mercy even what we can't even accept that much mercy. We don't even, you know, forget about deserving. We don't even deserve that kind of mercy. And even, you know, if we can, we cannot even accept that amount of mercy, the way Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is just pouring down his mercy upon us. So it's just been, you know, amazingly nectarian. So just wanted to share some of the things that are in context to this particular verse that we read today. So I will end here. If there's any questions or comments, we can take that now. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Kalasmida Mataji, very wonderful. How the lotus feet are very merciful in every respect that you have shared and expressed and lead us to understand. Thank you very much.
Hare Krishna, Kalasmida Mataji, Dandavat Pranam. Thank you for sharing the story of Kaliya's previous life. We never heard of that before. So thank you, Prabhu Mataji. Who said this? His Holiness Radha Raman Maharaj?
Yes, yes. Radha Raman Maharaj.
Thank you so much, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Thank you. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Dandavat Pranam. Prabhupada Jai Guru Maharaj. Thank you so much, Mataji. Very, very beautiful class, Mataji, and very nicely explained all glorious lotus feet of Krishna. And thank you for sharing the pastime of crocodile. I have never heard that before, and also the previous life of Kaliya. So these two pastimes are new today. Thank you very much, Mataji.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm just repeating Maharaj's words. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Yeah, Mataji, one question. So when he put the water on his head, he did respect the water. So why he did not touch? He did touch the water, right? That is a way of respecting, right? So he didn't do anything wrong. Instead of putting it in the mouth, yes. On the head, even that's better, right? So that was...
Well, he was asked to drink. And he was asked to drink that water, you know, Bhakta Pada Jal. The water that has washed the lotus feet of the devotee, we are supposed to drink that water and place it on our head. But he disrespected that water in the sense that he felt, he said that, oh, I can't, you know, I just can't drink this water, but all I can do is just put it on my head. So... yes, he did give respect to that water, and that is why Krishna danced on his head, on his hood. But imagine if he would have actually drank that water, he would have actually gone back to God and not even become Kaliya and enjoyed with Krishna. So
when we go to Radha Kund and Sham Kund, we put the water on our heads only, we don't drink that, right?
Yes, we are supposed to be drinking that water, but many devotees, you know, because they tend to get very sick after drinking the water because it is really contaminated water, they do that, you know, they don't drink it. But if you just take one drop and put it in your tongue, there's nothing wrong. You won't get sick with just one drop of water. So that's what we all do, that we just take at least one drop of water and just put it on our tongue. And then the rest, you know, because we take bath in the waters of Radha Kund. And that's the way we respect every single kunda in Vrindavan or the Yamuna, everywhere, you know. So we just take one drop of water and put it on our tongue.
Okay. Thank you, Mataji.
Thank you.
Yeah, Hare Krishna Mataji. I also have the question, like when we go to Radha Kunda Sham Kunda, so Did we take the dip in the water or just put the water on our head?
It is said that we should take bath in the waters of Radha Kund, because that's how Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught us. But there is a way that we should take bath in the waters of Radha Kund. It is explained that we should never sport or frolic or swim in the waters of Radha Kund. We should be very respectful because it is liquid Radharani. It is a liquid form of Srimati Radharani. So we should be very, very respectful when we enter the waters of Radha Kund. And when we enter the waters of Radha Kund, there is a specific pranam mantra that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given, that we should chant and recite that mantra, which is Yasya Radha Priya Vishnu Tasyam Kundam Priyam Tatha Sarva Gopisha Saivaika Vishnur Atyanta Vandabha. So when we say this mantra, we should just take 3 dips into the water of Radha Kund and then pour the waters of Radha Kund back, like take in our palms and then pour it back, offering like a tarpana. And then come out of the waters of Radha Kund, enter the waters of Sham Kund in the same way, take 3 dips there, and then come back again back to Radha Kund and take 3 dips back again in Radha Kund. So this is how we complete our bath in Radha Kund. And this is how Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught us. And this is how our acharyas, our current guru vargas, they have taught us. And that's how we do it. So about frolicking and swimming and sporting in the waters of Radha Kund, that is what is not recommended. That we should be very serious in, and be very respectful. But we should take bath in Radha Kund in the recommended way, which how I just explained.
Yeah. Yes, Maharaj. But it's still, that water is kind of a apradha, I think. So when I went there, I just took some water and put on my head, and I just drank some.
Yeah, but next time you go, you can follow this procedure.
Okay. Thank you, Mataji. Thank you for your blessing that I will go next time.
Of course. Any more questions? All right, if there's no more questions, we can end here, Mataji, then.
Yes, Mataji, if nobody has questions, then we can end here.
Yeah. Okay.
Thank you very much, Mataji, for your time. You took some time for us and give the class and share your realization in Mayapur. And we look forward for more classes and more realization. Thank you, Mataji. Please accept our relationships.
Thank you, Mataji.